All right, it's the final Friday before training camp. 49ers getting started next week. Update today from around the NFL. Eddie Jackson, the former Pro Bowl safety, has signed with the Baltimore Ravens. One-year deal. Justin Simmons, one of the leading active players in terms of interceptions, is still out there. We'll see if the 49ers might be active on the safety market. Anyway, studio almost set up. I'll give the full grand reveal to you guys here in the coming days. Have a little bit of a sneak peek at it right now, but we are here to talk about the 49ers position battles to watch once camp begins next week. And I'm going to conclude this with a Q&A, but go ahead, check out the Lombardi Lounge on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts, wherever you may consume that information. Battles through or those podcasts, the information you might consume right now through YouTube. And we're going to take a look at the 49ers four position battles to watch with the depth chart to augment things. First off, it's going to be that linebacker position battle. This is one where San Francisco, I think they need to get it right so they can beat some of the really good offenses on their roster, unless they outscore them, which is obviously possible with Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey and company. But in the Super Bowl, Travis Kelce was targeted Travis Kelce was targeted many times with a lot of success down the stretch by Patrick Mahomes. But even worse, Oren Burks, the 49ers third linebacker last year, who had to graduate up into that number two role after the injury to Dre Greenlaw, he was targeted nine times in the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs picked up nine receptions, nine completions on nine targets. So in the NFL, if there is a weakness in a defense, an opposing offense, especially with a good quarterback, is going to find it and mercilessly expose it. For that reason, the 49ers' number two linebacker spot is extremely important to at least attain competence with. And Dre Greenlaw, we expect him to start the season on the physically unable to perform list. So if you look at the linebacker position right here, you see new acquisitions that are veterans outlined in teal. You see the rookies that were drafted or signed as undrafted free agents highlighted in green. Who's going to step up and fill that Dre Greenlaw spot? I think that Devondre Campbell of the Packers, saw a lot of tape of him on that Packers film review the other day. I think that he is the front runner to begin training camp. But one thing about Devondre is that he, out of all qualifying linebackers last year, he gave up the highest passer rating in the entire NFL on throws into his coverage. This is just two seasons after he was an All-Pro, but he's 31 years old now. The chance that Devondre Campbell is on a steeper descent downhill. So if Greenlaw misses four games, if he's not, you know, fully up to speed until game nine, or if he's not fully up to speed all season coming off of an Achilles injury that's not that easy to come back from if you're a big hulking linebacker, it's something that derailed Navarro Bowman's career. Thankfully, Dre Greenlaw's a couple years younger than Bowman was at the time. But if Greenlaw is not going to be 100% ready to go to augment Fred Warner, that number two linebacker spot is going to be so, so critical so that opponents don't find that as the fracture point of this 49ers defense. A player that can push Devondre Campbell is Dee Winters, the second-year backer out of TCU. Was actually recruited to TCU as a safety, so he's got that DB background to cover. Fred Warner was really bullish on the offseason program of Dee Winters, so you obviously have to consider him a candidate to maybe move up into that linebacker two spot. But Campbell does deserve some respect as an all-pro just a couple years ago, and we should definitely probably pencil him in as the number two linebacker right now behind Dre Greenlaw. And we do have to monitor the speed of Greenlaw's recovery. A lot of people are going to ask about Jalen Graham out of Purdue, like Winters, a second-year guy. I'm just going off the intel that we've gotten so far. And Fred Warner made sure to mention Graham, mention Winters before he mentioned Graham. He even said that Winters might have had the best OTAs out of anybody on this 49ers team. So I think that is absolutely worth, putting Dee Winters in that first, second-year man spot over Jalen Graham, just the intel that we've gotten from Fred Warner. Somebody like Demetrius Flanagan-Foles, who's been with this team for a long time. He's shaded in gray as a re-sign by the 49ers. I know that he's played in a pinch before, but he's more of a special teams weapon. There's a ceiling to Flanagan Foles' play. In an emergency, sure, he can play. Ezekiel Turner, I probably look at the same way. They signed him. He was a special teams ace for Arizona, probably going to be a special teams ace for the 49ers. He might be somebody that challenges Demetrius Flanagan Foles' roster spot more than he challenges for that number two roster spot. But you know, you look at Turner, you look at Flanagan Foles, probably linebacker three at best, ceilings for them when you look at the defensive structure of this team. Obviously, they brought in a rookie through the draft as well. That was Tatum Bethune out of Florida State, teammates with Renardo Green, the second round pick out of Florida State. So you do have to remember that he's going to have a chance to compete. It's a player they really liked as far as his leadership ability, his ability to sniff out screens, somebody that hits really hard. So is Bethune going to have a chance? Absolutely. I mean, remember that Dre Greenlaw wasn't drafted particularly highly in the 2019 draft. That was the fifth round. So Bethune just a little bit past that in the seventh round. And you can never count out seventh round picks with this 49ers team. So look out for him to try to make a name for himself. It's just that he probably won't have the same playbook knowledge as D. Winters and Jalen Graham, who already have a year under their belt. So if I'm previewing training camp, I would think that Winters is going to be ahead in that rotation. But they've got a lot of options. This, though, will be a significant battle because they do have to figure out a way to get that number two linebacker spot adequately covered in time for the regular season. All right, moving on to position battle number two to watch over the course of training camp. And position battle number two is going to be right guard along that offensive line. One of the big misconceptions about the 49ers offseason and offensive line is that they didn't make any moves. Well, moves are anything shaded in either gray, green, or blue, that lightish blue turquoise color. And there's a lot shaded here in the offensive line room. They did re-sign John Feliciano, played some solid football for them last year. And he actually took over for Spencer Burford at right guard down the stretch of the season. It was the injury to Feliciano in the Super Bowl that might have did the 49ers in, because the big mistake came from Spencer Burford on third down in overtime, not blocking Chris Jones. That was after Feliciano's injury. But they also drafted Dominic Pooney. He's got a lot of promise in the third round. They signed Chris Hubbard. He might be the swing tackle behind Colton McKivitz. They signed Brandon Parker, who's going to be competing to be that swing tackle. And then they made the re-signing of Ben Bartsch. He's going to factor into this right guard situation that I talk about right now. But then they made some undrafted free agent signings and Jarrett Kingston was a sixth round pick, by the way. So he's in on the interior, but I have him on the right side of the dividing line. The two undrafted free agent signings for center were Drake Nugent out of Michigan and Bryson Mays out of Southern Mississippi. My big question surrounds Jake Brendel, who's shaded here in the pink or the light red. That indicates that he's been dealing with an injury. And the injury for Jake Brendel has been knee tendonitis. It caused him to miss all of the spring program. Is Jake Brendel going to be a participant and a full participant when we check out the first 49ers training camp practice this coming week? If he is, well, then he's the odds-on favorite to start at center. But if he's again not available, then all of a sudden we start wondering, okay, what's going to happen at the center position? And we know that Feliciano, who started at right guard for the 49ers down the stretch last year, we know that he's has starting experience at center. So maybe he slides up into that center role to fill in for Brendel. We also know that Ben Bartsch has some potential experience playing center, and he's a veteran that should be further along physically than he was last year, coming off of the dislocated knee with Jacksonville when the 49ers picked him up off of Jacksonville's practice squad. We also know that Bartsch can play right guard. So at right guard last year, you already had two contenders in John Feliciano and Spencer Burford. But do you add another contender into that mix with Ben Bartsch? And does a contender leave that mix because somebody from the group needs to fill in for Jake Brendel at center? Either way, right guard was the weakest position along the 49ers front last season. They weren't very good anywhere outside of Trent Williams. This was their strong suit. The other four spots along the offensive line, below average in pass protection. Colton McKivitz struggled in pass protection at right tackle. I don't think that Aaron Banks had the best year. Now, Aaron Banks was dealing with the turf toe, So he's probably their second best offensive lineman at that left guard spot. So you worry a little bit less about these two spots, but you need to protect the right side and you need to protect the middle in front of Brock Purdy. And it all starts with that center position, identifying the safety rotations, identifying exactly where the pass rushers are going to be coming from. The fronts are set by the center in this scheme. There's a lot of center control, a lot of center communication with the quarterback, which is why Jake Brendel is obviously the odds-on favorite to start there. He's on a longer-term contract with the 49ers, but we cannot ignore the fact that he missed the spring with the knee tendonitis. We can't ignore the fact that I did think Brendel's play regressed a little bit in 2023 versus what we saw in 2022. So looking at Feliciano, looking at Burford, looking at Barch, it's all going to be interesting. I don't think that any of the rookies, the undrafted free agents, are contenders to start immediately at center just because of the cerebral adjustment that it will take at the NFL level. So you look at Nugent, you look at Bryson Mays, but maybe, just maybe, somebody like Nick Zakel, who's going to be entering his third year, can make a move for San Francisco. Actually, third year for Nick Zakel. He's drafted in that same season as Brock Purdy, 2022. And they talked about his ability to take people over mentally when he was coming out of college at Fordham. Well, he's had a chance to physically rework his body now over two seasons. And if anything's going to click for Nick Zakel, you'd think it'd be in this opportunity coming up as an interior lineman for the 49ers in the 2024 season. All right, moving on to the third position battle, cornerback. I think they're stacked at cornerback. And how this is going to work, we've talked about it a lot because it's a little bit more complex with the rotations, but I've outlined the cornerback position. As you can see, Charvarius Ward, I think we're going to be able to take him off of the injury shading, just like we took George Kittle off. He had the same core muscle surgery. So Ward is cornerback one. Right here, I have Isaac Yiadom, who was the free agent pickup from the Saints as cornerback number two, like on the outside, but that's because I have this outlined as a nickel alignment. Whenever they're a nickel, they need that extra corner. How are they going to line up? Well, I think that their top three corners might be Ward, Yiadom, and D'Amador Lenore. And I think Lenore is better than Yiadom, but I also think he's more versatile. Isaac Yiadom plays on the outside. He's a bigger-bodied corner, not quite as tall as Richard Sherman, but still, you know, in the cover three, I think that they still covet that size on the outside to a certain extent. That's where he played for the Saints last year. That's where he had those 11 pass breakups. He was awesome after he took over for Paulson Adebo. So I have Yiadom playing in the nickel on the outside. I have Lenore doing what he did occasionally last year in the nickel, sliding inside for the 49ers. So you could see Lenore's name here at the nickelback position. But then the question is, who's the backup nickel? Who's the backup inside cornerback for this team? They signed Chase Lucas, who's a really good gunner. He was with the Detroit Lions last year. Can he be the backup nickel and make the 53? Well, we'll find out. That's going to be a battle over the course of training camp. Renardo Green, the second rounder out of Florida State that I talked about a few minutes ago, they actually started working him at OTAs on the inside, even though he played almost all outside for Florida State. They believe in inside-out development, the 49ers do. Start the guy working inside, move him outside where, you know, different skill sets are going to be a little bit more coveted. But the reason that D'Amador Lenore is such a valuable player for the 49ers is that he can do both. So I think until they're comfortable with somebody at nickel that's not named Lenore, then Lenore can play a nickel because he's your best option. So we'll see what Chase Lucas brings to the table. We'll see what Renardo Green's development looks like. But Lenore's your best option as of now. And you know that Yiadom has done it in the league at a high level at outside cornerback, albeit over a smaller sample, but he did it over the final half of last season with the New Orleans Saints. If Yiadom doesn't work out, if something's not clicking right during the course of training camp, you don't immediately have to go to the rookie, Renardo Green. You go to Rocky Asin, who has some accomplishments at the NFL level under his belt. That's another veteran that they added. And hey, we cannot discount Darrell Luter Jr., second-year man who missed most of last season but came on toward the end, impressed the 49ers enough to be active in the Super Bowl. Obviously, Ambry Thomas is still on the team. Right now, I just don't know where to slot Ambry. But, you know, I'm assuming that Renardo Green can leapfrog him. I'm assuming that Isaac Yiadom has leapfrogged him. I'm assuming Rocky Asin's a better player. You know, I have Darrell Luter Jr. ahead of him. Samuel Womack, I have on the same plane as Ambry Thomas. I have Kamon Hall behind them. This is a battle at the cornerback position. Who's going to emerge from this fray? Because The guys here, Thomas, Womack, Lucas, Kamon Hall, they're on the outside looking in as far as the 53-man roster goes. And, you know, that's just the reality of the situation. We will see how it develops over the course of training camp. We will see if, you know, Ambry Thomas is bulked up and he's better in closed quarters. He's a better tackler. He's better at winning those contested catch situations. And we'll see if he can force his way onto this roster, if he could kick somebody like Rock Ya-Sin or Darrell Luter Jr. off. But I think that the momentum is in Luter's favor. And Thomas and Womack, these are older players. I don't think that the momentum, especially for somebody like Thomas, is as much in his favor as it would be for somebody like Luter. Maybe somebody like Renardo Green, who's going to have that rookie push for the 49ers. Second round pick is going to have a little bit more leeway. But, I mean, speaking of momentum, if their veteran, Isaac Yiadom, can carry over what he did last season into 2024, 49ers have themselves a starting corner. And you know, just the totality of this, I'm talking about the battle, the cornerback position. I think the totality of the room is the deepest cornerback room of the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch era. Finally, battle number four, the tight end position. So we scroll back up for that. This reminds me of tight end U. I was out there earlier this month. What? No, it was last month already. Man, time flies. Yeah, I was out at Vanderbilt here in Nashville about a month ago. Caught up with George Kittle, caught up with Logan Thomas, Eric Saubert, and Mason Plein. All those guys were there. Those four tight ends were there. We didn't see Braden Willis. We didn't see Cam Lotu. Didn't see Jake Tonjes. But we saw four of the 49ers tight ends, including the founder of the event, the superstar himself, George Kittle. And I'll tell you what, the 49ers have been hungry to add a second tight end who can deliver as a receiving threat. Charlie Werner had, what, 11 catches in 4 years. He turned into a solid blocker, good player for the 49ers, allowed the offense to keep moving. But if you're talking about expanding the ceiling of the offense, if you can get some receiving production to tight end too, that player should generally be open, given the fact they've got so many other weapons on this team. I mean, you go from Kittle to Brandon Ayuk to Deebo Samuel to Juwan Jennings to Christian McCaffrey. I mean, the list just seems endless as far as the attention that this offense is going to get from other defenses. So if you can add a competent tight end too, catching wise, to all of that, A, it shouldn't be that hard to do that since defensive attention is going elsewhere. And B, I think it would really close and solve the last explosive hole of this offense. Tight end too just has not been an explosive position in the pass game. So what are your options? Well, as far as receiving explosiveness, Logan Thomas delivered a lot of it last season for Washington, 55 catches. So he's an accomplished receiver in this league. He knows how to run routes from a quarterback's perspective because he entered the league as a QB. A lot to like in the receiving game for Logan Thomas, but the big question is, can he adapt and block the way that the 49ers are going to require him to block to make this 53-man roster as a tight end? Somebody that I think I have more faith in being able to do that, but probably not as high of a upward ceiling, is Eric Saubert, who's been a journeyman, entered the league in 2017 alongside George Kittle. You guys saw the video interview I did at Tight End U. Saubert's a big, big dude, big arms. Again, solid blocker. He's a technician. He's been around the league for several years. The way that you have that kind of staying power without being a star or a superstar is that you do the small things right and you earn the trust of coaching staffs around the NFL, wherever you've been. So I think the 49ers got a good rave review about Eric Saubert, and I have him right now on the inside of that roster picture. Then there's Cam Lotu, and this is really fascinating because it was so frustrating for Cam in training camp last year as a rookie. He was dropping all those passes, and then he hurt his knee, and it was done. I saw him punt the pylon after he dropped a throw into the end zone, just took the pylon up and punted it. 49ers think he's got some talent, but he's got to get past his drop issues. He was on IR all season last year. They've challenged him because they have added Logan Thomas, Eric Saubert, and Mason Plein on top of the loss of Charlie Werner. So they lost Werner, but they didn't immediately say, okay, our draftees, Braden Willis and Cam Lotu, are automatically going to be our guys for that position moving forward. Because again, I'll go back to the top. I think they've longed for more receiving production out of tight end two opposite George Kittle for quite some time now. So maybe Latu's able to give it to them. Maybe he's used the time away to a rehab the knee, but also prepare himself for holding on to the football. Maybe he's gotten over some of the hurdles that were leading to those struggles. So you got to give Latu a chance over the course of training camp, but you also have to give Mason Plein a chance. The former college basketball player who's really, really big. You saw him in that picture, that video that I did with the 49ers tight ends at tight end U. I think that there's a natural element at the Plein's game. I don't think that he's a fearful player at all. I've mentioned this a few times. His college tape, which was shortly after he converted over from playing basketball, so was playing at tackle football really for the first time, especially at that level in his life. He was holding on to risky passes over the middle. He was holding on to passes that set him up to take some punishment, which is a lot of mandatory throws in the NFL, and he was doing it like it was just water running off his back. There was absolutely nothing to indicate that Mason Plein had only recently begun playing football when looking at that college tape. So we've got to look out for him. Undrafted free agent, tall guy, 6'7", maybe even 6'8", gives the 49ers a real, real shot to have a jump ball guy in that tight end room. Not like Kyle Shanahan likes to run those plays, but you still like to have some size in the tight end room. And Plein, I think, definitely has enough to not only succeed as a receiver at the NFL level, at least on a marginal basis here and there, but he also has the opportunity to develop into a sturdy blocker if he can use his frame and leverage it correctly. All right, 49ers Q&A. Let's answer a few questions here for you before we head out on this beautiful Friday afternoon. As Logan Thomas said, Logan Thomas doesn't block. He's a pure receiving tight end. Well, I'll tell you what, if he's going to make the 49ers team, he's going to have to block. And he was working on the blocking over the course of the OTAs and the mini camp. I think he didn't get signed to the very end. And I shared some videos and we'll see how that goes over the course of training camp. More from Mike on this, not a good blocker. Yeah, but guys can develop. He also hasn't been in a system like the 49ers with George Kittle. I get it. His frame might be more geared toward being a larger receiver, but and the blocking isn't great. But again, the 49ers are also evolving into more of a pass-forward offense. That doesn't absolve guys of the responsibility to run block, because that's what fosters the balance that's so important to the passing offense. That being said, though, we'll see with Logan Thomas. They obviously saw something in his game that can help him compete for what the 49ers are looking at the tight end position. I don't know if the practices with the Saints will be open to the public. I do know they'll be in Irvine on August 15th and 16th. You should check on the Saints website for that, because it's the Saints who are hosting those practices. Any more questions? Let's go for them. Waiting for more. Those of you listening on the podcast version of this on the Lombardi Lounge, by the way, those of you coming in right now, make sure that you head to Apple Podcasts and the Spotify. Leave your review. I know you can't leave a review on YouTube, but you can definitely leave a review up there. So do that, because that's where the podcast is going. We're getting this thing firing before the start of training camp. We accomplished a lot this offseason, and now we are ready to go. Anybody you could surprise and have somebody lose their starting job? McKivitz wasn't great last year, but boy, I don't know what it would take. I don't know if they have big enough names. It's hard to acquire big names at tackle that could legitimately threaten his job. Hubbard has been hurt a lot the last few years. He's a spot duty guy to fill in, even though he's been a solid veteran. Brandon Parker's been hurt a lot the last few years. He could theoretically, I mean, he's got decent talent. If he can stay healthy, maybe he could ultimately push for that right tackle spot, but there's nothing that I would consider, you know, to be probable at that right tackle position. As far as losing a job for a player that had it last year, tight end two, Braden Willis, it's entirely possible. It's not like that was an entrenched job, though. It's just that the 49ers were a little bit weaker at that position. And then Drake Brendel, if he's not healthy at center, then the 49ers are going to have to replace him with somebody else. All right, any more questions? Who's going to play free safety, Jair Brown? Remember, the safeties are interchangeable. Occasionally, you'll have one of the guys play closer to the line, and then the other guy moves up or further back into the center field position, and then they flip. And the 49ers have prided themselves on safety interchangeability. They pride themselves on safety nickelback interchangeability. Just DB adaptability has been very important to this football team, which makes it easier to navigate questions and discussions like this one. Any update on last-minute signings before training camp? No update, but I'm wondering where and when Justin Simmons signs, because we saw Eddie Jackson sign with the Ravens today. When do I think Greenlaw can return? Well, I know that if he starts the season on PUP, physically unable to perform, he has to miss at least 4 games. All right, guys, that's it for me. Time for me to roll. Just wanted to give you a good 49ers Q&A along with the look at the 49ers top position battles to watch. There's the spreadsheet. Maybe I toss this into the description. If you want this spreadsheet link in the description, give me a thumbs up, a quick comment in the description or in the comment section, and I will toss it in there for you to be able to view on your own. That's your Friday update. We're gearing up for the season. We'll talk to you very soon.